Welcome to the Resound Worship Songwriting Podcast, episode 123. I'm Joel Payne.
I'm Sam Hargreaves.
And I'm Olwen Ringrose.
And this is a podcast to equip and inspire grassroots songwriters serving their local church and beyond. In this episode, we will be looking back on June's Jesus of Nazareth Songs Challenge, difficult to say, difficult to write as well, and setting a new challenge for July. And that's mostly what we'll do this time.
It's episode 1, 2, 3.
Easy as...
Do, re, mi.
Something else.
A, B, C.
UBBC?
BBC, yeah.
Yeah, ITV. I'll be back in a sec. Hang on. I've just got to quickly get some pillows out of my washing machine. Keep rolling.
It's pillow time.
This is audio. This is podcast gold.
This, you can save this for the, you know, the Patreon. This is the all access.
Special outtakes version.
Yeah. What do you want to tell me, Olwen, that you don't want to be on the main podcast?
I've got a new cat.
Wow. Is it good?
He's settling in okay.
Okay.
He's a 1 year old rescue.
Oh, cute. Yeah. I don't know anything about cats. I don't know what to ask. Like, what does it eat? I don't know.
He's a tabby.
Okay.
So he looks like a wild cat.
Cool. That's nice.
Yeah.
Who was it? Were you the main instigator of the cat, or was there someone nagging for a cat?
No, that was me.
Okay.
I've had cats in my house since I was 2, so it feels weird. Our last one died in April, and I was like, okay, it's been 2 months now. I needed a cat in the house.
That's nice. Yeah, we get nagged by my son about getting a dog, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah, dogs are a lot more work than a cat. You can leave a cat for days.
Yeah.
What did I miss?
Cat chat.
Just discussing my new cat.
Cat chat. Come on. Excellent. We're keeping it in. What else has been going on that you have not yet already talked about? Whew. It's really hot. I've washed my pillows. They're feather pillows, so therefore you really have to dry them properly. And so I sort of, I've had loads going through this morning. Whew.
You're living the rock and roll lifestyle.
Love a good wash.
I would just say, Joel, last episode, I really enjoyed it. And I started listening and I thought, oh, they should just like do it without me all the time. Because it was great. And, you know, really enjoyed Rebecca and Chris. But I did notice two ways in which I think you do possibly need me.
Yes.
One is length. That was really long last time. And secondly, accents.
Yeah.
I was like,
are you really
goodness.
Good at accents?
No, I was like, you're a hair's breadth from getting cancelled here with the doing all the accents. It's like, Lord, please, may he not do any.
No more. Yeah, I think that was a symptom of it getting so long and getting tired. Right, let's keep moving then. So, no more accents. Stop that ridiculous voice, Sam. And what else has happened? Owen, have you're album recording, aren't you? Coming to the final stages.
Yes, I am. I've finally done all the BVs are done now. Choir vocals are done. Keiko sent some cello over. So I'm just about to send all the stems over to Mark, who's producing it, to put on all the final finishing touches.
Cool. Do you enjoy that bit, those recording bits?
Or
do you find them hard?
The choir bit was really fun.
Yeah.
So I worked with a friend of mine called Nate, who runs a arts centre. It's really cool. It's actually an arts charity, but it's still run by the Presbyterian Church of Wales.
Yeah,
so it's an old Presbyterian church, and rather than having meetings in their church, they run it as a community project, basically. So they pay their salaries to run the place, and they just do anything they want with visual artists, they put on films, book reviews, opening nights and things. Often do open mic nights, and it's available to help with recording sessions and stuff. So we got a load of friends together to record some little sort of gospel choir bits, and that was the most fun I've had in quite a long time.
Oh, cool.
Sounds awesome.
Yes. What have you been up to, Sam?
I did a little interview with Andy Flanagan as you listen to this, it'll be very close to the election.
It will.
I mean, or it might be past the election if you're listening back in the future. But just thought Andy is head of Christians in Politics and also singer-songwriter. And you and I had heard him when we went to that Boundless writing camp a few months ago.
Yeah.
And he really shared a few of those stories, really, of when he's led worship in very high-profile political situations. And actually, he's seen God move really powerfully, and also through specifically using not just what he called sanctuary language, but also bringing in some of the language from the world, from people's everyday experience. So I thought for songwriters, it's worth 13 minutes of having a listen and getting inspired.
Yeah.
So I'll pop that on the Facebook. And also, I've been thinking about maybe I've been inspired by Rebecca and Elise and others doing song shares in their area. And I don't think there's anyone doing things in my area. So I'm in Luton. So if you could come up from London or down from, I don't know, Coventry or all, you know, around that area, we could do an evening maybe in September. So yeah, I've put stuff on the Facebook and on the chatter on the 12 song page. So if you want to respond to me, if you want to come and, you know, share a song and meet up in person.
Cool. Well, everybody, Sam is really nice. So you should go to Sam in Luton and you'll have a lovely time. He's even nicer in real life than he is on the podcast. I have been getting ready for the Worship Songwriter Retreat in Wydale, which starts in a few days, or starts yesterday or today or whenever we put this out. And what else? So I'm not really sure, but I have. There's quite a lot going on behind the scenes in terms of our whole organisational structure in our charity and so on, trying to streamline a whole bunch of things so that it kind of sets us up well for the future. I've been doing quite a lot of work on that. But also we have an annual gathering of our trustees and the directors of our trading subsidiary and our staff. And we did that about 2 weeks ago. We did it here in my house, which was really nice because I've moaned about my house and build and stuff on the podcast for months and months and months. It was so nice to welcome a bunch of people. And it was a nice time, wasn't it, Sam?
It was great. Yeah, it was really good, actually. Inspiring. Sometimes, you know, a board meeting or whatever, you think, but it was very much about, you know, vision and then the practicalities of how we take it all forward.
Yeah. And one of the things which came up, which I think probably was your idea, Sam, so I'm going to introduce it and then I'm going to let you talk about it as well, is that what we would love to do this season of 12 Song Challenge is for there to be a good number of local end of season showcases.
Yay!
So the idea here would be that it could be anything from you and five of your friends in your lounge and you sing them some of the songs that you wrote, through to you gather a few other local 12 Song Challenge participants and you put on something bigger in your church or in a pub or something like that. And you get a chance to share some of the songs, tell some of your story of your involvement in it. We will provide a video that gives some more highlights and tells people more about the challenge. There'll be an opportunity in there to do a bit of fundraising for our charity as well. Is that about right, Sam?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, people seem to love the kind of opportunity to share the songs when we've done the sort of Christmas or end of challenge, you know, Zooms, and people just, you know, having done it, it's nice to share one or two of the songs. So we thought, well, why not make that a thing that people can put on locally and hopefully, yeah, gather a few other writers that are close to them and do it as a kind of community thing. And yeah, we definitely had that vision that it, for some people it would be really small, really intimate, and for others it might be bigger. And but yeah, I think it could be really fruitful.
And it might be the thing which draws in another songwriter for next
exactly,
time.
Exactly, yeah.
Who comes along and says, oh, this sounds amazing. Listen to all this stuff you've written. Because it's, you know, I can waffle on about the 12 song challenge, but when we hear you lot talking about it, it's dead exciting. So I think what we should do, probably maybe for the next podcast or something like that, we should get definitely Elise, who's the masteress of putting on things. Sounds like she's really good at getting dressed. She's also impeccable. Dressing, and maybe one or two other people have put on things like this, and we'll get some ideas, and people can talk about how they've done a house concert or done a big event. You know, there was a Durham songwriters song share, wasn't there, last night, which Elise and Chris and various other people, Philip, John, were involved in.
Yeah,
in which they're involved. Sorry, I don't like ending on a preposition.
Nerd. 12-song
challenge. The challenge for June was to write Jesus of Nazareth songs. And this idea kind of, it's been brewing for a while, but it sort of had its roots in a talk that I heard John Bell do years and years ago, and where he essentially, in my very paraphrasing way, said, we sing songs about a static Jesus in a manger, on a cross, or on a throne. But actually, most of the account of Jesus, he's not in those places, and in the Gospels and so on. So there's so much more story to tell. So we set the challenge of trying to write those songs. I dropped John a line and told him that we were doing this, and he very kindly sent through some notes from a lecture or talk or two that he'd done, which is really cool as well. So he was very encouraged. I want to hear from you two, maybe start with Olwen, your general impressions of the Jesus of Nazareth month.
Well, first of all, as somebody who wrote an entire album based on parables that Jesus taught, you will come to no surprise to you that this is entirely up my street. And in fact, it's something I've been thinking about for a couple of years as well, this whole idea about why do we not sing more about Jesus' life. So I loved it, and I've really enjoyed watching the different like episodes of Jesus' life that people chose to highlight and the different ways that they went about it. So yeah, I thought this was a classic 12 song challenge month. Loved it.
Yeah. How did you find it, Sam?
Personally, again, I found it like something that I had thought about a bit, and once I hit on the idea of doing something about Jesus' obscurity, I was reading a book about, you know, reflecting on he spends 30 years effectively not in the limelight. And that's the opposite of what we would probably do if we were Jesus, or if we were Jesus' PR person or something. Then it flowed pretty easily. But I have spotted that it's a fairly low posting rate this month,
yeah,
it seems.
Yeah.
So whether that's, I'm not sure that that's the challenge, or whether that's just June.
Yeah.
People being busy with, you know, summer stuff, and I'm not sure. I haven't heard much of people saying, "Oh, this is really hard," or "I'm confused by the challenge." What did you think?
I found it quite hard. I sort of looked at all kinds of events, stories, happenings, and kind of just found it hard to figure out how to get in to them, how to start, what posture to take.
Yeah.
There's something, isn't there, about those, I call them static, those kind of static moments, which are sort of, they're freeze frames in the salvation story. And therefore, it's quite easy to stand around them in adoration and wonder,
yeah,
and to talk about them and to look upon them and so on. And lots of poetry can pour out of those things. With these, I found my first few attempts really sounded like songs from a musical. Who is this man? What is he doing? Will he love me? I don't know. That is, because I don't know why I kept finding myself going down that route. In the end, I fortunately Matt Weeks stepped in and helped a bit. So he and I have been writing a song together, which has got past that. But still, I found it difficult not to talk in generalizations. I found it difficult to really home in on a thing. And then, because I have sometimes written songs from stories in the Gospels, so quite often I'll put myself into the story and sort of sing more from perspective of the other character or something, which I think is good, but then sometimes you miss the Jesus story within it, potentially.
Yeah, and I think if you're in a church which majors much more on experiential worship rather than formative worship, so it's much more about worship and adoration and expressing your love to Jesus, I think that is harder because these are more narrative tales and stories. And so it can be hard to kind of like, can I imagine my church singing a song if there's nothing to kind of them really to engage in that way? So for my song, I started off telling the story, but I needed the chorus to be something that they could really get on board with, and it was a real praise, because otherwise they would just look at me with like confused looks and go, what are we doing?
The response is often more kind of ethical or discipleship based, isn't it? It's kind of like, wow, Jesus, you were like this, help me be like that. rather than, wow, Jesus, this happened, I'm going to worship you.
I also kept finding myself writing lines from Meekness and Majesty. Just kept wanting to write manhood and deity, but I couldn't get it in.
I was quite impressed that Hunter Lynch, the end of every verse, I think, had the word Nazareth, and then he'd rhymed something with Nazareth.
Wow.
It's nice. Quite an effort, I think, to do that.
There aren't that many things that rhyme with Nazareth. He's got them in. Shall we have some highlights from the teams? And why don't we start with Team Malin, led by the esteemed David Brackenbury. And he's picked out a song by Amy Anderson called Where Else Can We Go? And he says, I love the title, which is drawn from John 6 and captures Simon Peter's response to Jesus after many followers had turned away. He'd seen who Jesus was and recognised there was no place he'd rather be. Where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know you are the Holy One of God. The current verse addresses one of the human early earthy stories, water into wine at the wedding in Cana. And Amy picks up the reference to the third day in the wedding account and some of the meaning of this. And it reminded me of the upcoming songwriting retreat and Ian Edgson's theologically rich journey in song. He shared with us last year about God working in threes and forties. Did we share that one on the pod?
I think we did.
Amy's song is currently one verse and chorus, but with more promise. It's definitely one of those you just want more of. Well, in that case, let's start with some, and then we can long for more.
At a wedding, Lord, you were the guest. A miracle from water, your glory manifest. Like the soon resurrection, this third day is a sign. Here cleansing and feasting, on this the good wine. Here cleansing and feasting, on you the good wine. Where else can we go? Where else can we go?
To Fisher. Andrew and Rebecca have chosen Charlie Bailey's Ripples, brackets, One Touch, which Rebecca says is so raw, so honest. It's a perspective of someone desperate and hoping Jesus is the answer. Kind of a before the encounter with him and the desperate hope that something dramatic will finally happen. It's the woman with the issue of bleeding just before building up the courage to reach out and touch his garments. One of the options was to put yourself in the story from a character's point of view, and this does that.
They said you'd make all the chains break, all my sin fall away. Then why is my echo still tied by new life in your name, freedom from shame? Then why do I wish I could die? The rivers of my past, they
start this is with those two songs. It's really good.
Really, really good. Oh, it's me. Sorry. I was too into that. Andy Clark says his choice from German Bite is Jesse Dooley's Who Is This? Some beautiful chord choices and melodic hooks support this story of meeting Jesus on earth, and also a call and longing to see him again when he returns.
Ruth and Rob Sutherland of Team... Which team? Of Team Fitzroy. Yay for Team Fitzroy. Have selected a song by Ian Wilson. Yay for Ian Wilson. And the song is called Running Out of Wine. So it's another one that is at least begins in the story of the miracle at Cana. Drawing on the story of the miracle of the wedding at Cana, Ian and his wife have written a beautiful reflection on a more personal experience of running dry and needing the presence of Jesus to be made whole. The song is sung by their daughter. I can't wait for this.
Running out of wine, the party's over. Guests are at the door. Jars of clay are only filled with water. And there's nothing left in store. Take my life and turn it into wine. Help me know your presence all the time. Let me see you can work in me. And I'll do, Lord, help me to do whatever you tell me to. Make it into something good and lovely. You have saved the best till now. Change my heart, I'm reaching out to you. Make me pure and holy through and through.
That's a vibe.
Good. Oh, I want to buy the Wilsons album. What are they going to be called? The Wilson Family. The Wilson Three. That was gorgeous. It was like, oh, it's like Stevie Wonder sung by a beautiful contemporary voice. And Ian's wife wrote the lyrics. Ian wrote the music. His daughter sang it. Oh, they're living the dream.
Lovely. So moving on, Chris Juby. I don't know what team Chris Juby is in. Anybody know?
Oh, Juby is Fastnet, I do believe.
Fastnet. So from Fastnet, he's picked out Susan Goforth and David Hill's Jesus Walked Among the Lowly for hitting the theme right on the head.
Seems as good a reason as any.
Jesus walked among the lowly, giving hope to the weak. His compassion for the broken lifts the lame to their feet, granting birth to the poor, helping those in their need. Jesus walked among the lowly, Savior, walk close to. Jesus taught the crowds before him on the plains by the sea. Blessed are those who render mercy, have the faith of a seed. I'm the way, I'm the life, heaven's path runs through me. Jesus taught the crowds before him, teach me now how to be.
It's very good. Mm-hmm. Really strong.
Do you think the reason people have been quite slow to post this month is because a lot of these have got a lot of verses and a lot of words, so maybe they're just taking quite a long time to write? Start exploring the life of Jesus, you realize there's a lot to say.
Yeah. And that whole thing of it being kind of moving, not static, you can't just focus
on a moment.
Gone for that. Yeah. You have to.
Yeah. Well, keeping with the theme of writing lots of verses,
Elise of
Lundy has picked out a song, a text by Martin Leckebusch, because Martin writes texts rather than tunes. A word before the dawn of days. And this just needs a little bit of explanation because it's a text, so I will read some of it to us. But Martin has written 14 verses.
Wow.
Possibly because he just got carried away. But I think as well, a sort of... He basically says, use the first verse and the last verse, or use stanzas 1 and 14, and then... whatever fits your context, stroke service. So you just pick out some other verses from within it to go in, depending on what bit of Jesus' life you want to sing with.
I think that's actually really smart, isn't it? Yeah.
So clever. And you could actually, like, there could be more verses, couldn't there? There could be other episodes once you've got that basic framework. So the first verse goes, a word before the dawn of days, before all time began, a word beyond this world we know, beyond the cosmic span. This word is God's own truth and light in human flesh made known. In Jesus, God has walked this earth and made our life his own. Sam, pick a number between 1 and 13.
13.
A catch of fish, a charcoal fire, and breakfast on the shore. Is someone who denied the Lord accepted anymore? But as the conversation flowed, though much was left unsaid, Christ welcomed him to love and serve and follow where he led. Nice. I was going to pick one, but then we have to go back in time. So let's finish up with verse 14. And still the records written down transcend the sacred page, resound with truth and kindle faith through this and every age. They point to Christ, the living word in human flesh made known. In Jesus, God has lived and died to make his life our own.
I mean, effectively, he's written like the Uber song, and we may need to not have to write other songs again because we can just ask him for new verses to this one song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very good. So what he's based it on John and John's gospel. And so it's kind of wrapped up in that opening in the prologue and the epilogue of John and the things that are said there, where sort of John introduces it and John just says, I've written all these down so that you may believe, and in believing you may have life in his name.
Yeah.
Really clever.
Yeah, he's good, isn't he, Leckebusch? He'll go far, I think.
We've also got a load of people have suggested unwritten tunes.
Yeah.
So Peter and Elise and Ken. So you can David Caswell. So you can take your pick.
We should all do it. We should try and get 14 tunes on there for him. Okay, yeah. So go on and count. And if we're still short of 14, write him a tune.
Yeah.
Post it up there. That'd be fun. we will, let's see, we'll skip. I'll have to pick up Travis's team afterwards.
Okay. So for my team, which is Portland, I've chosen Darren Jones as The Word Became Flesh. So he's written three verses and each one gives a snapshot of the events in the Gospels. So he's got the woman at the well, a storm in the Sea of Galilee, and the death of Lazarus. But then he ends each verse with the word became flesh and the flesh, and then it's thirsts or sleeps or cries. And he's managed to like really succinctly wrap up these little stories into basically three lines with a little wrap around at the end. It's just really clever. Plus, it's got a really great little guitar riff and a really beautiful melody.
A woman of sin met him by the road. Her life was transformed by Jesus the Lord. He'd stopped, it seemed, unrehearsed. The word became flesh. He sailed across Galilee Lake in a storm. His head on a cushion, asleep in the stern. They woke him.
Love that. It's got Nick Drake vibes there.
Lovely vibes.
Gorgeous.
Lovely vibes. I'm not allowed to say that in my house.
Lovely vibes.
Lovely vibes.
That was really good. I've chosen Terry Young, who is a guy that I met at a conference a couple of months ago, and he came and said, I write some songs. And I said, you should join the 12 Song Challenge. And interestingly, Terry doesn't play an instrument, but has taught himself to compose using software. What? So he's got some really great lyrics to this tune, On the Road with Jesus, which kind of, you know, asks that question, you know, if we were there in these different scenarios with Jesus, how would we have responded? And then I particularly wanted to highlight this because I think that the music has really developed, and also I think this is only his second month, but he's really responding to feedback in terms of how to make things singable and stuff. So I wanted to highlight this.
On the road with Jesus, had you been a guest? When the wine stopped flowing at the feast, had the women told us how the jars were blessed, would we buy their story? Would we be impressed? Would we stop and ponder at least? Would we stop and ponder at least? On the road with Jesus, we'd have seen the rage as he cleared the temple on his own, as he scattered coinage, table, chair.
That basic On the Road with Jesus motif is just so strong, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's, yeah, there we are, walking with him. This is what it's like. These are the things we see. These are the experiences we have.
Yeah, I think he's really got that sense of like Jesus on the move.
Yeah. And from Team Shannon, in Travis's absence, I picked one out and it's by John Shields. It's called Who Is This Man? And John says, I decided to take a storytelling journey by capturing snapshots of Jesus' life and ministry as it progressed through the lens of those confronted with the reality of this human that was more than just human. He says he went a bit overboard, ended up with a massive song and trimmed it down to what's still quite long. So he's open to suggestions, but let's listen to the first bit of it.
Heading down to Jerusalem on the dusty road over rolling glens, the Passover to celebrate, and with broken bread they remember grace. A 12-year-old boy just running around, when his parents left he was nowhere to be found. In great distress they hurried on back, oh, it wasn't like him to run off like that. When finally they would look and see, in his father's house, that's where Jesus would be. Who is this boy? Ooh, who is this boy? This boy would grow into a man, calloused hands, and when these hands would touch disease, the healing came like a fresh spring breeze.
I'm going to pick out from my team, from Team Viking, the most Norse of the teams, Rachel Johnson, who has written The King Comes Walking. This has kind of George Ezra vibes, if you imagine George Ezra singing, you think, hey, that would be really good. Oh, it's good anyway. But...
the word immortal becomes incarnate, Messiah promised in ancient times. Put on his flesh clothes and dwells among us. Into the world brings truth and life. Into our wasteland the king comes walking. Into our black,
got good vibes too, hasn't it?
That would be a really great one to sing.
That would be great to sing, wouldn't it? Yeah. Some great lyrics in there. Talking about Jesus' baptism, one with the Father, he lives his heartbeat and Satan's whispers can't bend his love.
Ooh, come on.
Hey, well done, everyone. Actually, having said at the beginning, it seemed we hadn't seen so many songs. And I said I found it quite hard. These are great songs.
Yeah.
This is really good.
Strong bunch.
So I almost want to do it again because I think we just need to keep minding the theme. Oh, we won't. Don't worry. In case you're thinking, Joel's run out of ideas. We didn't like this one and he's doing it again.
It's like if some parents says, like, if you didn't eat your dinner the one day, you're going to get it again the next day.
Oh, yeah. That's good, isn't it? Yeah, that's what we do. But anyway, really, really good. I hope these get singing these in the churches because... this is good, quality, rich stuff.
Absolutely.
So we have a star of the month. I've got a star of the month for us. Oh, hang on. You sing it for us. You sing.
Star of the month. Woo!
Woo!
The star of the month for June is Mike Clifford.
Yeah. Star of the month.
The treacle of encouragement over songs from teams surrounding the British Isles in the offshore waters. So thank you, Mike. Absolutely great. We love highlighting the star of the month.
Yeah.
Just a way of saying thank you to someone who's gone the extra mile to try and encourage everyone else. So it's really easy to win. If you want to win it, you know what to do. Yeah. It's not easy. You've got to work hard, but you know what I mean. Nothing stopping you. Apart from other commitments and so on.
12 song challenge.
It's time to set a new challenge for July. we're hitting the second half here. How are you feeling, Olwen, going into part two? We've had the mid-season break.
Yeah, it feels like a long one. This one has felt like quite a long one.
It has, hasn't it?
This year. I've possibly just got lots of other stuff going on, but yeah. I'm like, wow, this is, yeah.
Yeah.
6 months. It's, you know, sometimes I flash by. This one feels like it's taken 6 months. That's just my life, I think.
Yeah. I just want to say, I have written basically proper songs, more or less, for all the months, which for the last few years I haven't really done. Like, I've sort of written snippets and bits and pieces. And I think for basically for every month I've written something which I could actually imagine being a real song, and I probably ought to go back to it at some point.
Oh, well done. I definitely have not.
Oh.
Yeah.
Shall we have a challenge? So the challenge for June. So guess which famous person's birthday it is, a significant birthday in July?
My son.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh. Why didn't we get him to set the challenge?
Yeah, he could have done. He'd love to get off school, so.
Yeah, anything to get off school. It is. It is the 350th birthday the very significant and oft called father of hymn writing, Isaac Watts. You heard of Isaac Watts?
Have done.
Absolutely. Yes. So Isaac Watts, now I'm going to say straight away, there is another podcast. There is another edition where I interview Dr. Daniel Johnson, who is an Isaac Watts scholar, and he tells us all about Watts, his hymns, his life, his influences, the themes and the particular characteristics and his significance to the world of hymnody. But really, he is there were a few people before him writing contemporary, at the time, English language hymns, but by and large, everybody was singing metrical psalms. There are a few people, Keach and others, who had written some, but Watts came along and he was just really good at it. And so he blew the thing wide open, because suddenly he wrote these things and people thought, whoa, him. And so, for example, trying to write stuff that had New Testament theology in it, for example, to sing in church. Whole load of stuff. And then his influence just echoes down the centuries. Such a significant hymn writer. So we are going to have a month, which is essentially a tribute to Isaac Watts. And this is how we're going to do it. Essentially, we're going to write songs in some way inspired by Watts. And I'm going to make some suggestions about how we might do those. So my first suggestion is have a listen to the podcast, to the other episode, learn some more about Isaac, or get online, do some research, read something, whatever, find out a bit more. I'll put a link in the show notes. If you go to hymnary.org, hymnary.org, it's a really good site for all things hymns. It just kind of surveys loads of hymn books and collects all the information. It's got a massive list of Isaac's hymns and links to them and so on, so it's a really good way of getting into it. But if you listen to Daniel talking about him, then the main thing is just be inspired by something. So anything that Daniel happened to mention about Isaac Watts, or anything you happen to read about him or in one of his hymns and it inspires you, go for it. Entirely fine. One of the things that Daniel really talked about is that Isaac Watts was very concerned with the affections, which is an old-fashioned word for the sort of the inner workings of the person, of the mind, the heart, the soul, the kind of the emotions and the thoughts and internal activities, that those were a really important part of worship. And he, in the podcast, Daniel talks about his kind of critique of very bored looking people in church, and it shouldn't be like that in worship. So what he would often do, which was quite groundbreaking, is kind of gathering together rich doctrine, scriptural truth, and talking about the emotions and the inner life that comes alongside those things. So that would be one thing to try and do, bringing together truth and affections, scripture and emotions, outer expression and inner life. Another thing that Watts would often do is to use a type of Christ from the Old Testament. He loved to take the Old Testament and interpret it through the lens of Christ. So whether it's Abraham or Melchizedek or King David or Aaron, or just virtually, I think for Watts, pretty much any figure in the Old Testament you could take as a type of Christ, as a kind of way of modeling what Christ would later fulfill. Another thing Watts did very famously was to take the Psalms, because they were basically what the church was singing at the time, and turn them into hymns where he very self-consciously interpreted them through the lens of Christ. So it's not the only way to treat the Psalms. And I think in previous challenges, we said to people, try and stick really closely to the, in a sense, to the original point of those Psalms. But this time would be to say, no, actually, no, what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and build this Jesus interpretation into the language that I see in those Psalms. Which our own Emma Terle does very well. Mm. Fourth possibility would be find a text. There are lots of them. Check the hymnary site or look in your hymn books, whatever you want to do, and just write a new tune for it. That sounds good, doesn't it? You could try and write a new tune for When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Well, there are a few good ones.
Yeah.
Do we need any new ones? I don't know. But there are loads of texts probably that you never sing in your church. And if you could write an absolutely cracking tune, then that would be really good, wouldn't it? And then finally, it's slightly more kind of take inspiration from an Isaac Watts text. So you could do this. I thought of three ways you could do this. One would be to actually sort of take the whole framework of it. So if he's got three verses and one's on this, one's on that, sort of map it out. And if it moves through this kind of narrative, kind of map it out and then take his text away. And write your own song or your own text, which follows that structure and that narrative. So you really kind of rewrite that whole hymn for yourself or for your context. Does that make sense as I say that, Owen and Sam?
Yes.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Then, or you could just sort of, rather than take being so closely connected to the structure and so on of it, just say, if, for example, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross is about looking upon the cross and reflecting on it, and then your own personal, well, write a song that does that. So it doesn't have to be, it could just be on the same kind of broad theme, or pick out a line, a single phrase or a couplet, and just use that as a seed or a springboard to write a totally new song from which to write a totally new song. How does that sound, you two?
Sounds really good.
Yes. Yeah. It sounds a bit daunting coming from somebody who doesn't sing hymns.
Yeah.
I grew up in an Anglican church, so I sang in the church choir until I was like 16. But since then, I've sung maybe 5 hymns in the last 30 years. It's for me, this is like, oh, I'm going to have to do a lot of research.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully the podcast is good for that, isn't it? The interview with Daniel.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the couplet idea is quite a good idea. I think some of the... One of the really famous Hillsong ones does that with some hymn.
Great, yeah.
It's the one where it talks about, I can't remember, but I remember hearing a line in a Hillsong song and thinking, that's a really odd turn of phrase.
Yeah.
And discover that they'd taken this line from an old hymn. So I can kind of use that as a kind of touchstone for like how that would work. Yeah. So.
And I think it doesn't have to be, you don't have to write a hymn. I think that's an important thing to say as well. You could try and write something that's metrical and hymn-like, but equally, it could be a very contemporary sounding song that in some way takes some inspiration by using one of these particular techniques. Mm. Any thoughts, Sam?
Sounds great. I'm just excited. I'm looking forward to listening to Daniel. I think it's wide open as well, isn't it? So people can interpret this all sorts of different ways.
Yeah. Great. There you go. Happy birthday, Isaac.
Oh, and also, with him being 350 years old, we won't have Chris Juby on our backs about copyright.
At last! At last we've dodged the Juby bullet. Yes, I'm pretty sure it's open season on Isaac Watts. I think that's okay. That's all that we have time for this month. So all that remains is to introduce a featured song. I'm afraid we haven't got any Isaac Watts songs pre-done. So instead, we're going to pick one from Downcast Souls, Expectant Hearts. And this one is In the Valley, based on Lamentations 3 by Judy Gresham. Bye.
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 In the valley of despair, in the dark night of the soul, do you hear my whispered prayer? Will you breathe into these bones? For I see no light at all, and the peace I had is gone. Now my faith is growing cold. I am barely holding on. yet this I tell my soul, and then touch to